Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Choice and where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you so much for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, folks, I have got a very, very powerful program for you today. Bottom of hour number two, Scott Powell is with us from the Discovery Institute. Also was a former senior fellow at the Hoover Institute. We're going to talk about American history, real American history, and why it's so important that we understand the great history of this country, especially as we come up on President's Day that will be upon us next week. I've got something else I want to let you know is going to happen on President's Day. We're going to have a very special treat. We're going to have a testimony and an interview from a gentleman who was directly involved with the founding of the State of Israel in 1948. And he is going to be with us on that day to talk with us about that founding and about that history. And I think it's really, really, really a very interesting story. And you're going to learn a lot about the truth about the State of Israel from this gentleman who was there as a young man in the middle of it in the 1940s when all of it happened. So we'll have that coming up for you next Monday. Top of the next hour, Rebecca O.S., Dr. O.S. is with us. We'll talk about the value and importance of traditional family values and the assault that is coming upon traditional family values by this administration. The Biden administration has declared that traditional families are they're an assault. They're an affront to Americans. Traditional family values are an affront to Americans. I don't know what planet this guy's living on, but it's not ours. We'll talk with Dr. Owis about that from CFAM. Bottom of this hour, Matt Long and I will talk about tyranny. Canadian tyranny versus U.S. tyranny. They just declared a state of emergency and some form of martial law in Canada to shut down the Freedom Truckers. Here in America, corporations believe that they can strip you of your constitutional rights. That's right. All of your First Amendment rights, according to the radical left corporate structure, are no longer in effect. And don't think for a second that you're going to get anywhere with that. Look what they're doing to guys like Joe Rogan. I'm telling you, we are living under a new form of tyranny here in the United States of America. And God will give us the victory because God is our authority. Our rights come from God in this nation, in this country. And I promise you, he'll make sure that the atheists remember that. My next guest has a story to share that really touches on some very personal places for me. And I'm very pleased that he is with us. I am sorry that he has to be with us to discuss this topic, and I salute him for doing what God's called him to do in sharing this story. For those of you watching us on TECN TV, on my webpage at chosengenerationradio.com and also on Clout Hub and our social media pages, you can see a picture of his lovely family and in the center, his precious daughter, Grace, who I believe, my opinion, I believe that she was medically killed. We'll talk about that right now with Scott Shara, her dad. Scott, welcome. It is an honor to have you on the program. I don't want to say that it's a pleasure to have you because of what we have to talk about. Let me say that it's an honor to have you on the program.
Well, thanks. It's humbling to be on this program and the others that we've been on. It's hard to believe how God's working to get this story out.
So let's get into this story. Your precious daughter had Down syndrome, but from everything that I can see, she was just a bubbly, happy, loving young lady with all kinds of wonderful dreams and aspirations for her future.
Yeah, Grace was great. She was 19, and she was. The way she was every day was like the lifeblood of a 10-year-old. She just was an absolute joy. My wife taught her how to read and write. We homeschooled Grace, and you know, she just blossomed. She could drive a car, ride a horse. When she was born, it's strange when you have a Down syndrome child. The medical establishment rejects them. Although there was one real good one. Said to us that the sky's the limit with Grace if you let her do everything that is possible. And God seemed to have blinded us to her Down syndrome. And so we just let her do everything. And the sky was the limit. We named her Grace after God's grace. And when she learned that, she would probably say, I was named after one of God's principles. And she had a relationship with the Lord that I want to have. She knew him. She called me Earthly Dad, to give you a perspective.
Wow. How beautiful.
She was a great kid.
How beautiful.
Thank you.
And so she became ill, as I understand. Can you talk to me about what that looks like?
Sure. The backdrop of the situation was around September 28th, she had what we thought was a cold. We didn't think anything of it. We were fully prepared for COVID because we had the preventative protocol of frontline doctors. We had all the materials and ivermectin, et cetera. So we were ready to go.
Okay.
So we got her on that right away, even though she wasn't diagnosed with COVID. On October 1st, we got a home test, and then she tested positive for COVID, and still we didn't think anything of it. We just were going to walk through it. And around day 8 or 9, she couldn't maintain her oxygen saturation above 90. And the same thing happened to me. I ended up in the hospital 3 days after Grace died. And so you can do your best preventative plans like we were, but there's a small percentage of the population that we've learned has a propensity for inflammation and clotting. And so it's a genetic disposition. And so obviously I had it, and then Grace inherited that from me. Mm-hmm. And so we couldn't maintain our oxygen. So we went to the urgent care, and they suggested going to the emergency room to do a CT scan for clotting and check out her lungs. And ultimately the emergency room doctor suggested we admit her to the hospital for a short period. She thought, 3 to 7 days to get her back on track with oxygen and a steroid.
Okay.
And a sidebar to that, Greg, is that if we would have known then what we know now, we would have still went to the emergency room, but we would have never checked into the hospital. Right. And the reason we would not have done that is because you can come home with oxygen and a steroid.
Absolutely.
Prescribed.
Yep.
And so the day we chose to admit her to the hospital is really when we signed her death certificate unknowingly.
Unknowingly, of course.
So that's how she got into the hospital. And from there, we should probably get into her last day because of
Please.
The limited time, because
yeah.
that's when it really gets horrific. So to set up the last day, Grace was put on a sedative, and I believe she was put on a sedative for a couple reasons. One is the hospital's goal, a short-term goal of the hospital, is to get you on a ventilator as soon as possible, because that's where the real money is.
Yeah.
And Grace never needed a ventilator, but they can put the patient on a sedative, it sets up the ventilator. And it also changes the room status to an ICU room, so the hospital gets a bonus. And then if you want to get the patient out of there because you realize this is not going well,
right?
It's called against medical advice once the patient is on a sedative. So then you can't get them out. So they were doing this, the package insert, which is the rule for this particular sedative called Presidex. The package insert says it's not supposed to be used for more than 24 hours. So I further think that they put her on this because she had Down syndrome. So it was just an easy thing. We were advocates. I was an advocate in the room until the 11th of October when I was taken out by an armed guard. And then my daughter, Jessica, came in 44 hours later because we had to negotiate, strangely, to get a replacement advocate in. Well, anyway, so now she's on Presidex. Now we get into her last day, which was the 13th of October. So she's been on this sedative for 4 days.
Oh.
The morning of the 13th, the doctor called us and said at about 8 o'clock and said, Grace had a good day yesterday. We should put her on a feeding tube. So why a feeding tube? Well, this is another strange thing. Why weren't they just feeding her? Well, they wouldn't let me feed her when I was in there because they're concerned about her oxygen levels. The same thing with my daughter, Jessica. But there's no reason that they couldn't feed her. She just was on a BiPAP mask, and you just remove the BiPAP for a couple minutes or just one spoonful at a time. I mean, there was an overall lack of attention to care. So ultimately, we approved this feeding tube. So now this sequence of events becomes very important. So my daughter, Jessica, that morning wanted to take a shower. When I was in the room, they insisted I not leave. So they had a shower and restroom right in the room. So I took a shower there. That morning, they insisted that she go home to take a shower. what's the reason? When you connect all these dots, I think it'll become clear. So she went home to take a shower. Remember, the doctor told us Grace had a great day yesterday. We should do a feeding tube. Jessica goes home to take a shower about 8:30 or so, comes back inside of an hour. She got back and she overhears the doctor saying the family's not going to like this. And so she said, what aren't they going to like? Well, Grace tried to get, wanted to get out of bed to go to the bathroom, and they strapped her down to the bed. And so now they use that as an excuse to ratchet up this Precedex further. Now they've put the feeding tube in. Of course, she gets agitated with the feeding tube. Now they've got the Precedex at 10:48 in the morning. They have it at 14 times the dose that they started with 4.5 days earlier.
Oh,
then at 11:25, they give
Hold that right there. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, this is the story of Grace Shara. This is the story of her last day. At this point, it's obvious that the hospital has made its decisions relative to what they intend to do. They've strapped her down simply because she wanted to get up and use the restroom. I'm sure because of all the drugs that she's on, she's certainly somewhat disoriented with what's going on. And all she knows is I need to use the restroom. And the hospital straps her down, and now the final stages begin. We'll be back to talk about it right after this. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm with Scott Shara, her father. I'm Pastor Greg. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. If you follow my program, you know I'm a miracle survivor of a catastrophic car accident where I saved my daughter's life, spent 6 weeks on life support, died 4 times, and broke bones in my head, neck, back, ribs, arms, pelvis, and both legs. That was in 2017. In 2004, I was given 3 to 6 months to live as my pituitary gland and adrenal gland shut down. In both instances, God and His natural cures saved and preserved my life. Recently, I was introduced to a product that has taken my healing to a whole nother level. If you want to know more, go to cgrwellness.com and sign up for an account. It's free to sign up. That's cgrwellness.com and sign up for your free account. And when you get done, email me at pg@pastorgregyoung.com. That's pg@pastorgregyoung.com, and I'll tell you how to get well. Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper. And since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today. 800-662-9236. 800-662-9236. Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And we're telling you a critical story. And folks, I'm telling you this. We are telling you this story because it is so important to understand, and we'll get into this paradigm shift Scott and I were just talking about, and he mentioned it, and I think it's critical to bring up. We're going to finish the story about what happened to Grace, and then we're going to talk about this paradigm shift. So we're at a situation now, they have gone and increased the sedative now. They've got her strapped down in the bed, and now they are administrating lorazepam. Is that right?
Yeah, so now at 11:25, they gave her the first dose of lorazepam, which is an anxiety med.
Right.
Now we get into the critical window. In 30 minutes, they'll start at 5:46 p.m., another dose of lorazepam. 5:49, another dose of lorazepam. 6:15, a 2-milligram dose of morphine as an IV push, which means they gave it to her instantly. So now in 29 minutes, she had Precedex, lorazepam, and morphine in her system. The morphine package insert says specifically to not combine morphine with lorazepam with Precedex in the black box warning because it can cause death. And so then at 6:45, the doctor called us and said, again, Grace had a good day, just gave her morphine. We said, why? He said, because she was breathing at 51 breaths a minute and I needed to slow the breathing down. So we didn't really think anything of that. Our daughter, Jessica, called at 7:20. Jessica was now the advocate in the room. She called us at 7:20 on FaceTime and said, Dad, Grace's numbers are dropping. I said, get the nurses in. She said, I already tried. She had been trying for about a half hour because she said, after I noticed Grace was getting cold after the morphine. And so she tried to get the nurses in. They just said, well, that's normal. Well, now we're panicking. So now we're screaming, save our daughter. And the nurses holler back to us from outside the room, she's DNR, do not resuscitate. We said, this is the first time we knew she's DNR. We said, she's not DNR, save our daughter. They would not come in that room. And so they stood, Jessica estimated about 30 nurses outside the room at that time. Ultimately, we watched Grace die at 7:27 on FaceTime. At 7:22, Jessica went into the hallway and said, what's going on? And this was from Jeff's notes. One nurse read off what the computer stated and that the doctor labeled her as DNR, which they claimed they couldn't do anything about. So a DNR order has to be signed by either the patient or the healthcare power of attorney, which was my wife. It was not signed. And if there was a DNR order, even, you know, it's not a doctor. That's illegal for the doctor to place it.
Absolutely.
But even with the DNR order placed, they're supposed to, when a patient or their advocate says, save me, that automatically null and voids the DNR order, but they refuse to come in. And it gets worse than that. And just a quick sidebar on that morphine package insert, it says they're supposed to have the reversal drug available at bedside. And the reason is because of these type of things. But right. They had no intention of bringing her back. There was an armed guard posted outside the room. What's the reason? That doesn't make any sense unless you're trying to have somebody die.
Well, who's paying for this? Who's paying for the armed guard, for goodness sakes? I mean, seriously, what is that all about?
I understand. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
Well, and just to put an exclamation point on the whole story. So now I drove my wife to the hospital after Grace died. I couldn't come in because I had COVID. And so she and Jessica cleaned up Grace, and the funeral director met them there. The pastor met them there. And as the pastor's wheeling my wife out in the wheelchair, one of the nurses bent down. She was wheeling Grace's belongings out next to her and said, me and several of the other nurses think that Grace shouldn't have died today.
No kidding.
No kidding. I mean, this is insanity. So, I mean, that got us really thinking, what happened? So we got all the records, and I have about $500 of research in this now, and God has opened up all these doors to share the story so that we can save people's lives.
Now, I have to, and this does not bring your daughter back, but is there something that you can do legally that's going to get this hospital's attention and possibly cause a policy change? Is there a legislative path as well that you can follow within the Wisconsin legislature to... Grace's bill, something along that line that can unwind this, or was just the incompetence of the doctor signing off on something, a DNR, when he had absolutely no right and no business doing so, is that where it ends?
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, from the Wisconsin state statute perspective, we have no claim. And the reason is Grace was an adult. So loss of companionship is a typical claim that only applies to children. The medical malpractice, it's obviously medical malpractice, but there's immunity under the CARES Act. And on top of that, the legislature limits the claim to $750,000. I mean, for a hospital group like Ascension, who at the last fiscal year had $26 billion in the bank, I mean, that doesn't do anything.
Right.
And we're not after money.
Well, no. The situation needs to be changed. It needs to stop.
That's right.
These kinds of behaviors, and sadly, folks, this is the culture of death that we live in. When you start teaching children at the age of four that by the time they're nine, they should have killed the thing growing in their body. When you start teaching children in the first 5 years of conscience that murder is okay, when you start teaching euthanasia, this is what you get.